Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivase Shasunyavadi Prashkatya Desatarane Om Aginatamirandasya Janajana Salakaya Saksu Samilatanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Saupadantikam Vansa Kaupa Trubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vayibhacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'll be speaking about Sanatana Goswami and his visiting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. He visits the Lord there for the second time. And what I would like to do is just start with the first verse. Radhaman, could you just pour a little bit, please, there? Thank you. Vrindavanat punapraptam Sri Gora Sri Sanatanam Deha Patam Ivan Snehat Shudam Chakre Parikshaya. So this verse gives a summary, as do all the first verses of each chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It gives a summary of the entirety of the chapter. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Sanatana Goswami again, Puna Praptam. He again sees him, Sri Guru. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again sees Sanatana Goswami. And there, and it doesn't say where, the first time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana Goswami was in Ramakeli, and then again in Benares, in Varanasi, and then here's the third time again, gets Sri Sanatana attains Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this particular time, what's described here in this chapter is Deha Patam Ivan Snehat. Out of Snehat, out of great affection, he protects Sanatana Goswami from Deha Patam, from giving up his body. And then what Mahaprabhu does is Shudam Chakre Parikshaya. Parikshaya means he tests him, he examines him, and then Shudam purifies his body. So please go to the English translation, Srila Prabhupada's English translation. When Sanatana Goswami returned from Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately saved him from his determination to commit suicide. Then, after testing him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified his body. So, one thing I'd like you to really notice here is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested Sanatana Goswami. Now, what is this test? And this is one of the main themes that we'll be looking at over the next few days. How did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu test Sanatana Goswami? And then also another point, and the Sanskrit word there is parikshaya. So we know the word parikshit, or Maharaj Parikshit, because Maharaj Parikshit, after being saved by Lord Krishna while he was in the womb of Uttara, he examined every person that he met. He was testing each person that he met after that, looking to see if this was the person who had saved him while he was in the womb, that he had actually seen in the womb. So this testing is very, very, very interesting in this chapter. And also, please keep in mind the word snehat, out of great affection, because this is the background of the entire chapter, the affection that is being reciprocated by Sanatana Goswami with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So keep this in mind. What I'm going to try to do is give some highlights, so to speak, of particular words and particular concepts to note and remember while we go through the chapter. Then the second verse is what is also done every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there is glorification. So Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. So almost the entire Panchatattva is glorified here, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, while writing this amazing literature, he is respecting and glorifying those who he's going to be, he experiences getting the blessings and the power of. So in this, I don't think there's any need for a translation, but there it is, all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, as we go onward, after this introduction has been completed to the chapter, Kaviraj Goswami begins narrating the particular pastimes. When Srila Rupa Goswami returned from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, so we saw yesterday how Rupa Goswami left Jagannath Puri and went to Bengal, and Sanatana Goswami, at the same time, he went from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this particular section of the chapter, it discusses the journey of Sanatana Goswami through the Jarakanda forest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Vrindavan, he stopped at Benares, and then he went to Prayag, and then he went to Vrindavan. But when he left Jagannath Puri at Katak, he turned into the forest. And that forest is basically Jarakanda forest. And Sanatana Goswami went through the same forest. So Sanatana Goswami was walking alone through the forest. And there, as he was walking, sometimes he fasted. He was so eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Sometimes he fasted. Sometimes he ate the roots and different fruits from the trees. And sometimes he would eat whatever he could get, or perhaps even beg. But then, as he was going, Jarakandera Jalera Dosha, there was some water that he drank. And this is very important, and it will come out later, especially when Haridas Thakur speaks at the end of the pastime. He drank some water that was faulty, that was bad, that was contaminated. And because of his fasting and because of his walking and because of his drinking this poor water, poor quality water, his body became covered with itching sores that were oozing pus and that were oozing blood. They were itching continuously. Fluid was coming from his body. And it was itching continuously. And when you scratch an itching sore in that way, it just increases the itching and increases the blood coming and the different fluids coming out of the body. So Sanatana Goswami, when this was occurring, he just thought, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my body? This body is useless, practically speaking. First of all, it's nija jati. I am born in a low family. I don't have good qualities. It's atyanta asara. That's completely, fully useless. Asar, useless. Because he was thinking, as it explains in the succeeding verses, that I'm going to Jagannath Puri. But with a body like this, what will I do there? First of all, I won't be able to go see Lord Jagannath at all because of my past history and low birth, because he had served the Muslim rulers before. I shall not be able to see Lord Jagannath. And then I won't be able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I've heard, is living near the Jagannath temple. So what am I going to be able to do? And yet, there was a third reason why he comes to the conclusion very soon that it is better that I give up my body. And the third reason is that when I'm walking to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or walking anywhere, practically speaking, in Jagannath Puri, the pujaris are going here and there. And if I happen to touch one of them, if I touch any of them with my oozing, sore-ridden body with blood coming out, it's going to contaminate them. And for this offense, I'm going to have to suffer so much. It's such an offense. And when we see people, practically speaking, if their bodies are covered with sores that are oozing, all we want to do is keep far away from them. And there's a horrible, he found that there was a horrible smell coming from these itching, oozing sores. So he was in great pain because of this. So I will not have the power to go near the temple. I will not be able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Gambira, in Radhakantamat, what is known as Radhakantamat, and that is so close to the temple. So, and then I'm going to be committing offenses. So with a body like this, what is the use of me being alive? Nothing good will come of my life. Only bad will come of my life, the opposite of what I want. So Sanatana Goswami thought, without being able to serve properly, I should give up my life. I should commit suicide. And I'm going to Jagannath Puri just before the Rath Yatra festival. So what an opportunity I'll have in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while the Rath cart, the wheels of the Rath cart are rolling down the road to Gundicha temple. While those wheels are moving, I shall jump underneath those wheels and give up my body. And this will be an auspicious ending to my extremely inauspicious situation. So as he was thinking like this, he made his way through the forest, and gradually, walking and walking, he made his way to Jagannath Puri. And that's the end of the first section. Sanatana Goswami's journey, and this is the beginning of his test. Then, when he got to Jagannath Puri, he did not know the devotees that were there, but there was one devotee he thought of meeting, because that devotee had accompanied Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu had gone to Ramakeli, where he had met Mahaprabhu. And that devotee was the great saint, Thakur Haridas. So Mahaprabhu had arranged for Thakur Haridas to stay at the Siddhabakul in a very isolated place. So Sanatana Goswami went there to meet Haridas. And when he saw Haridas Thakur, they knew each other. They bowed down, they embraced, they offered respects to each other. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his desire, his eager desire, to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as quickly as possible. This is the benefit of an extended journey to the pilgrimage place. That benefit is that you're meditating upon your worshipable Lord the whole time. You're worshiping, you're meditating upon what you're going to do in this holy place, the whole time of your journey. You don't get on a plane, and that you don't sit there and with screens in front of you, but rather, on the other hand, you're walking and slowly, slowly absorbing your consciousness in this holy place. So when When Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri, he expressed to Haridas Thakur his eagerness to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Haridas told him that after the Upalabhoga ceremony, the morning ceremony of refreshments, every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and see Haridas. And Haridas too, was before he came to Jagannath Puri at the house of Advaita Charja, before Mahaprabhu left Advaita Charja's house to initially come to Jagannath Puri, he expressed that I'm not going to be able to go near the Jagannath temple. I won't see Jagannath. I won't see Mahaprabhu. But then when he actually came, Mahaprabhu made a special arrangement for him because of his love, because of his affection for Haridas Thakur. So this is some point that comes out very soon, and it's something that will have to build up in our heart, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very affectionate to his devotees. He's especially affectionate to those who give themselves to him, his mission, and who show affection to him. His reciprocation is astounding, actually. So make note of that point from the first of the introductory verse, the word was used snehat, out of affection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to act. But this affection isn't going to take the form that either Sanatana Goswami desired, or sometimes in our life, during our tests, the affection that we get from Krishna may not be exactly according to our liking. And how to deal with that? Let us watch Sanatana Goswami as he gets examined out of his great affection, out of Mahaprabhu's great affection for him, how he deals with the examination that he's going to get. So when Mahaprabhu came to the Siddhabakul place, which is such an amazing place, where Thakur Haridas lived and passed from this world, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come every day, and Sanatana Goswami stayed there, and Srila Rupa Goswami stayed there, and the devotees used to go there to be with Thakur Haridas. When he got there, Thakur Haridas and Sanatana Goswami immediately bowed down to the ground and offered the Lord their humble obeisances. And when Haridas Thakur said, Sanatan kori namaskar. That Sanatan is here. He's offering you his obeisances. And I noticed this even with Srila Prabhupada. If we were with Srila Prabhupada, and I've seen people do this with myself as well, and I offered obeisances, then the devotee may say, oh, Burijan is offering his obeisances. And just in case Prabhupada didn't know who the person was, or because Prabhupada had so many thousands of disciples. And I also did that at times. Oh, this is such and such person offering obeisances, and Prabhupada accepted that. So when Sanatana Goswami was offering his obeisances, Mahaprabhu was chamatkar. He was very surprised because he didn't expect to see Sanatana Goswami there. In fact, Rupa Goswami had just left 10 days ago, and now Sanatan was there. And Sanatan, after embracing Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur says, here is Sanatan, who is offering his obeisances to you. Mahaprabhu immediately went to embrace Sanatan. And Sanatan Goswami, remember, his body was the opposite of fragrant. It smelled bad. It was oozing blood. It was oozing fluids, itching. And Sanatan just said, Prabhu, Padan Tomarapaya, I just have a request of you. Please, I bow down at your feet. Please don't touch me. I am, first of all, Nijajati. I'm born of a low class. I am Adama. I am low. But also, Kandurasagai. My body is covered with these sores. that different horrible fluids. I mean, the grossest example of something like this is if one's body was, one had the worst kind of diarrhea or something, and one's body was covered with horrible excrement from the body. And then the Lord comes, who is Parama Pavitra, he is the supreme pure. And you're already feeling yourself so low, and then he's coming to touch you and embrace you. Look at these infectious sores that I have on my body. And he said, please don't. And Mahaprabhu embraced him anyway. And the oozing sores and fluids and blood from Sanatana Goswami's body, it covered, it touched the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, of course, we can't really understand what Sanatana Goswami was thinking, but we can understand that he thought this was the most terrible thing. He's already suffering so much due to the sores. He's already thinking himself born in a low family. He's already thinking that he assisted Nawab Hussain Shah's government and committing horrendous crimes, religious crimes, breaking so many temples. And now look at the offenses that I'm committing. So then, what could he do? Mahaprabhu overpowered him. He embraced him. So the devotees with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu sat in a holy raised place, and Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat below them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Sanatana Goswami about the devotees in Vrindavan, because Mahaprabhu in Benares had sent Sanatana Goswami to Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu had come there himself, and he met the devotees. He had such special relationships with devotees there, and he loved Vrindavan so much. Even the word Vrindavan would cause him to fall into ecstasy. What to speak of the thought, seeing Sanatan brought him back to the thinking of Vrindavan and the devotees there. So Mahaprabhu first asked about the devotees. How are they doing? How is their health? What are they doing? And Sanatan told them that everyone was quite well. And then Mahaprabhu told him that Rupa, your brother, has just been here, and just 10 days ago he left. And then Mahaprabhu broke to him. He told him some bad news that he had learned from Rupa Goswami, because when Rupa Goswami had gone to Bengal before coming to Puri, he had gone with Anupama, Sanatana and Rupa's younger brother, but Anupama had left this world in Bengal. So the word that Mahaprabhu used was very, very gentle. He said, Ganga Prapti. This was, and we see this in other of Prabhupada's books, that this was a gentle way of saying they left the world, they have attained the Ganga, because traditionally, in Bengal, when someone was going to leave this world and it was known, they would take him and let him be at that holy place of the bank of the Ganga, so that the influence of the holy river would influence his departure. And Mahaprabhu then said something important and very sweet, and he glorified Anupam. And he said, Raganate Drida Tarabhakti, that he was such a firm, fixed devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Now, this next part over here, listen to very carefully, because it has to do with parikshita, with testing. Although it's not directly mentioned here, but the concept of fixity in devotional service, fixity upon one's Lord and Master, is something, well, I'm not going to tell you what exactly at this point, but it comes up many, many times in this chapter, and it becomes an essential point. So fix that as a signpost in your mind about how Anupam was so firm in his devotion to Raghunath, to Lord Ramachandra. So Sanatan Goswami immediately, when he hears this, he says, my family and I are already so low. We've performed all these irreligious acts. We've assisted the irreligiosity, practically speaking, everything against the scriptural injunctions that we did. But actually, rather than hating my family for what we've done, the impropriety for the things we've done, rather, you've given my entire family mercy. And you've brought good fortune upon us all. And then Sanatan himself begins to speak about Anupama's, who was given the name Sibalava, his worship of Lord Raghunath, of Ramachandra. So he said, yes, he was kare drita chitti, with great determination. Drita means holding on very tightly, that he was a devotee of Lord Ram. And day and night, he says, he would chant the name of Ram. This is his fixedness. Day and night, he's defining the fixedness, telling us more details about what it actually means to be fixed in devotion to one's worshipable deity. And he said, Raghunatha Nama Ara Dhyan, and he would meditate on Ramayan continuously. Continuously, he would hear it and meditate upon it. And he would chant and hear the Ramayana and chant continuously the names of Lord Ram. And the three of us, Sri Rupa, myself, and Anupam, we would stay together continuously. And one day, as we were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of Lord Krishna, the three of us were discussing, they decided to pariksha, to examine him. Again, the word pariksha is used. So Kaviraj Goswami, in writing this, is very, very careful how he constructs his narrative, because there are many things happening at once. We're going to see, and this goes out through the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're going to see through hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relishing his relationship with his devotees. But also, in addition to that, we're going to see and hear very powerful and important instructions for our own spiritual life. And Mahaprabhu is going to use his devotees and others too, but to teach us, to train us in how we too can advance in devotional service and attain love for Krishna, which is the goal. Prema Parama Artha Mahan. So Rupa and Sanatan, they decided to examine their younger brother Anupam. And they said, Lord Krishna is attractive. His attractiveness is supreme. There is no one more attractive than him. His pastimes, his sweetness, his loving dealings, they are unlimited. Atyanta, they are unlimited. And there's no one actually who can compare to Krishna. So you please engage yourself in your devotional service along with your two brothers, and together, the three of us will stay together. We'll just talk about Krishna. We'll think about Krishna. We'll chant Krishna's names. We'll hear about Krishna. Let us all together be one in this way. And Sanatan describes how Anupam, his mind, because of his love and respect for Rupa and Sanatan, they were his elder brothers, his mind was moved in that direction. And he said, yes, my dear brothers, I can't disobey you. So please, you initiate me. You give me the Diksha Mantra of Krishna. And then I can perform my devotional service to Krishna. So after saying this, he went to his place, But that night, he could not sleep. All night he stayed awake, thinking, I cannot give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. I can't do it. I can't do it. He cried all night long. And in the morning, Sanatan says, he came to us and he pleaded with us. I have already given my head. I have sold myself. I have given myself at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. I cannot take my head away from his feet. That would be too painful for me. So please, please, you too, my two dear elder brothers, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me and give me an order. Yes, I will take your orders, but please give me an order that life after life, I may serve the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. Please give me that blessing of that order. It's impossible for me to give up the lotus feet of Raghunath. And even if I think about doing it, what to speak of actually doing it? Even if I think about doing it, my heart breaks. So hearing this and hearing of his devotion to his worshipful Ishtadeva, to Lord Ramachandra, Rupa and Sanatan, they embraced him, they encouraged him and saying, you are a great saintly devotee. Your determination in devotional service is fixed. Is there something we may be able to learn from this? Is there some instruction in here, in this pastime already for us? And then Sanatan turned to Mahaprabhu and said, whatever family upon which you bestow even a little mercy is fortunate. And all your mercy and your mercy, even a drop of your mercy, makes all misery disappear. So hearing about the fixedness of Anupama from Sanatan, and after having acknowledged this himself, and it's going to be hammered in a third time by Mahaprabhu about this importance of this fixedness. And he says, there was also a similar situation concerning Murari Gupta, a great devotee of Lord Ram that was an early associate of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. His determination was similar. And Mahaprabhu even says, Purve Ami Parikshalun, Parikshalun, Tara Erita, that I similarly examined him. I examined his fixedness purpose previously, and his determination was the same. Again and again, we will hear of this examination. And this is very, what I've seen is, this is something that has, how shall I say? I'll say it by saying something else. By when we were reading the fourth chapter of Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we heard of Madhavendra Puri and his devotional service. And Gopal came to him in a dream and said, Madhavendra Puri, I have been observing you for a long time. It's so interesting to consider that Krishna can actually observe us, and that he does. And then Gopal said, and I've been wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come to serve me? So there are tests that we will also undoubtedly have in our spiritual life when sometimes we think no one is observing us, and sometimes we see that others are observing us, and sometimes the tests are so subtle that we don't know if anyone's there observing us at all. But here, great appreciation is shown for this fixity in devotional service. And then there are two verses that are described here that Mahaprabhu says. There are two verses that Mahaprabhu says that are very important, that really make this point. Say bhakta danya yena chadi prabhura charana. That devotee is dhanya, he is glorious, if he does not give up the feet of his prabhu, that he stays focused and fixed on his Lord. And that, now here's the other side of that. Say prabhu dhanya, usually we think of the one side where it's the devotees, don't try and see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. Krishna is always observing you. He's in Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. He's in everyone's heart. He's always watching you. But there's another side of this equation too. It's the personal affectionate nature of our Prabhu, our Lord. Say Prabhu Danya, that Prabhu is glorious. Yena chadi nijajana, that he does not give up his own nijajana, his own person, those who have given themselves to him, his own person. So the translation here is, glorious is that devotee, Srila Prabhupada's translation, who does not give up the shelter of his Lord, and glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. But then, there's a second verse, and that second verse talks about the Lord and the what happens if someone, some servant of the Lord is not so fixed and rida, and how does the glorious Lord deal with such a soul? So Durdaiva, if by chance the sevaka, the servant, jadi, if by chance, if he goes away, jaya anyestane, if he goes away, then the Lord, say takor dani, he is glorious, who grabs him by the hair and pulls him back, grabs him, doesn't say, okay, everyone has their free will. No, he grabs him, he holds on to him tightly by his hair and pulls him back. So the Srila Prabhupada's translation is, if by chance Dodaiva, a servant, falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. Now, the section changes. That point has been firmly made already many, many, many times. Tests, affection, and firmness and devotion to one's Lord. So Mahaprabhu then says, it's very good that you have come here. Now stay in this room with Haridas Thakur. We read these few verses yesterday. And what did Mahaprabhu see in them about their qualities and their qualification? And what should they do while they were together? So Mahaprabhu says, Krishna bhakti rase duhe paramapradan. Krishna rasa aswadana, you should taste, because you are both so expert in this. This is your actual qualification. You're so expert that you should taste together paramapradan, the actual transcendent bhakti rasa, the transcendental mellows of devotional service. Both of you are so paramapradan, you are so qualified, you are so expert. And Krishna rase aswadana, you should taste the taste of Krishna bhakti rasa. together, and you should speak in this way and Laya Harinam. You should chant Krishna's names. So he gave them. And then we'll see in this chapter, this is what they do when they're together. They talk about Krishna and they chant Krishna's names. How wonderful. So the point that came up in my mind when I read this to everyone yesterday was that they were going to be together in their room together, and Mahaprabhu, he got up and left, and he sent prasadam to them every day, and Sanatana Goswami was so humble that he didn't try to enter the temple of Lord Jagannath. He just saw the chakra on top of the temple and gave its respects every day. And Mahaprabhu would send prasadam, very, very wonderful prasadam through Govinda to them every day. He would take care of them. He would take care of them. Again, he maintained them. Because he was their shelter, their only shelter. And then he would come and he would join them in their Krishna Katha, talking about Krishna. So then I thought, when one could only imagine what would it have been like to be in the presence of the three of them or the two of them while they were going about their life, relishing bhakti rasa, what would it be like? And one couldn't burst in to that unless one was qualified. And that's the reason why we can't really be in the spiritual world until we have the qualifications of one to be in the spiritual world. We wouldn't fit in unless our consciousness, unless we felt small enough to be like a fly on the wall or something like that. We would be a disturbance in some ways. The energy would be shifted. So that ends that part. So in this way, life went on. Day after day, Mahaprabhu would come. And then another section begins. So before we begin that section, this next section, because it is a next section, and the past time moves forward. After having established some principles, I thought to see if there's any questions at this point. I don't know if Prashanta is present there to see if there's any questions. And yes.
Yes, there are.
We could take a few minutes.
We have two hands up as far as I can see, and it's multiplying fast.
Okay, but we'll only have a few now. I'll try to stop another time, or maybe even two times before the end. And yes, would you like to?
Well, the first person I saw was Madhavi Gopi, Devidasi, yes. And we also have Rishi Kumar Prabhu from Delhi.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat
Prabhu. We won't be able to answer everyone, but we'll just have at least one or two.
Go ahead, Madhavi Gopi.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, thank you. This was a wonderful explanation of the whole thing. But what little...
Madhavi is not over yet. We're just beginning.
Yeah. So the confusion I have is like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, both are the different forms of the Lord. So how it makes difference for the Lord or for the devotees that somebody is particularly attached to one form of the Lord. So they try to, you know, bring them to some other form. And Lord also pleases that, okay, he is fixed in, attached to that particular form. So it's very good. So how we understand this? Because both are ultimately the Lord.
Yes. And ultimately, we know that Krishna is Ishvara Parama Krishna. And the pastimes that Krishna performs, especially his Vrindavan pastimes, allows one or gives one the most intimate of relationships with Krishna. So if one judges one's of by intimacy, the degree of love, we see that Krishna, it is more possible to have a more intimate exchange of love with Krishna. But that doesn't mean in the material world, we hear if we see that someone is has a better position, or this person has a better position here, and this we want the best. Why should I have the second best? I deserve the best. But it does. But it, the material world is different from the spiritual world. And these two devotees that have been mentioned, of Anupam and Murari Gupta, and Mahaprabhu said, their eternal rasa was with Lord Ramachandra. So that's glorified. But the point really being made isn't whether Krishna is better than Ram and Ram, and if you're a devotee of Ram, you should only stay with Lord Ram and or Vishnu or something like that. No, but we don't argue with devotees over which form of the Lord that they choose, they or is chosen for them in some senses to worship. But we want to make the point. The point really being made is the fixity of devotion to one's Lord is so highly valued, and that very often is what's tested in us. And this comes out that this is the real test. And this is what really comes out, is that my test isn't going to be whether I want to serve Lord Ram or Lord Krishna or Lord Varaha or whatever. That's not going to be my test. My test is that when Kali Yuga gets really rough and difficult and I don't get what I want from Krishna, I have a plan of what I want, how Krishna should treat me. And then when things don't happen when the way I want, and there's misery, I get sick, or someone beloved passes away, that's more the test, that I don't turn away from the Supreme Lord and run in the opposite direction and think, what's the use of worshiping a Lord who doesn't give me everything that I want? But we're the servants. So it's very important to live in the affectionate relationship with our Lord and be nourished by that affection. And that is what will make us grow in our devotional service. And if we turn the other way, when things get difficult, then we have to go back and Krishna is so kind, he will grab us by the hair, so to speak, and there we go. But we have to gain love. Love is fixed. If there's a person who loves one person today and a different person tomorrow and a different person the next day, we wouldn't want to have a relationship with such a person. But good question. Thank you. Was there one more question? And then we'll go back to this pastime.
We go to Rishi Kumar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Rishi Kumar Prabhu.
Thanks, Mother. Thank you very much. I just want to thank you first for inspiring
no.
me to be a part of this
no.
retreat.
No. The
first one.
Go on.
You mentioned in the session that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses his devotees to teach and train us to advance. So often it happens that in our life, especially in devotional service and in our services, we come across seemingly bewildering behavior patterns or devotees themselves. So how does one steadily have this consciousness that this devotee is also probably provided by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to train me in my advancement and not get bewildered or irritated?
Well, it depends if I've understood your question correctly, how do we see so many things when we join a movement that has hundreds and hundreds of thousands of devotees, we see so many things. So in a simple way, your question is, how does one not get bewildered, and how does one learn from what one sees? How does one learn to be, to move on forward in one's own spiritual life? Is that correct?
Yes.
So one thing that I've seen is that Krishna is always teaching us. There's no lack of instruction. Krishna is always teaching us. And there's so much instruction that comes. So what we gain from an experience really depends on us more than the experience itself. There's a famous little story that I find myself saying many times about the two identical twins. And their father was an alcoholic. He used to drink, and he was a terrible father. He used to be completely addicted to alcohol. And one son became an alcoholic like his father, and the other son became a very famous neurosurgeon. So someone asked the drunkard son, how did you become like this, just living homeless on the street? How did you become like this? And his reply was, with a father like that, what else could I have become? And your smile shows you already figured out what the rest of the story is. That then they asked the brain surgeon, how did you become this exalted surgeon? And he said, with a father like this, like that, what else could I have become? So this is one of the great challenges of life. I saw this with Prabhupada. He used every difficult experience to push on the movement, to teach. He was so fixed in his determination. I am a servant of my Lord, of my Guru Maharaj, of Mahaprabhu, of Nityananda Prabhu, of the Panchatattva, of C.C. Radhashyamasundara, Radhamadav, Radhagopinath, Radhapartasarthi. I'm a servant of them. I've sold myself to them. If this is what they want to give me to experience, let me somehow use it, somehow or another, in service. That is determination. That melts the heart of the Lord, someone who is so fixed in love in that way. But is it easy? It's easy to talk about it, but watch our minds. Watch the mind fluctuate when things don't go the way we want, and we become very humble in that way and know that we need mercy. Okay, BTP, back to pastime.
We're not taking one more, Prabhu?
Abhi nahi.
Okay.
What about me? Because otherwise, well, you know what's going to happen. Okay. So every day Mahaprabhu would come. And one day the Lord came to meet Haridas and Sanatan. And suddenly he began speaking. He said, Sanatan, Deha Tyage Krishna Jadipai. You want to serve Krishna, and you think that you're not able to serve Krishna, not able to associate with Mahaprabhu, you won't be able to see Lord Jagannath, and you think that you're going to be committing offenses. And therefore, you want to give up your body, and that you think is going to be auspicious. You think that's going to bring you closer to Krishna. But deha tyage Krishna jadipai, you will not be able to get Krishna in that way. That is not the process. And then Mahaprabhu said something amazing, and this shows what real devotion is that he says that if I thought that by giving up my body I could get Krishna, I would have done it 100 times, 1,000 times, koti times. Because what's valuable for me is not maintaining my body, but the service of Krishna, not the tourism going to Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, so I could see Krishna and take a selfie, you know, stand in front of Krishna and take a selfie. Look who's been to Vrindavan. It's me. But no, it's about love. It's about service. It's about loving service. It's about bhakti. Mother Yashoda in Srila Rupa Goswami has a verse in Padyavali that says she would give up her life millions of times willingly if she could save Krishna. One drop of unnecessary perspiration or any perspiration, because all perspiration means over-endeavor. She would do that willingly, gladly, without a second thought. So, well, then what is Sanatan going to do? Mahaprabhu gives him some instructions, which we should all take very, very, very careful note of. He says, not by giving up your body, but what we know is Krishna is attainable only by bhakti, only by devotional service. There is no other means of attaining him in this way. The Bhagavad Gita says this again and again. All Shastra says this again and again. What to speak of service in Braj? One's bhakti has to be so refined, so pure. In the fourth chapter of Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the love in Braj is compared to gold that has been refined, melted, and then little impurities taken away, and then it congeals, and then it melted again, and a little more impurities come to the surface and are taken away, and again and again and again and again and again, 100 times purified in that way. This is what Braj Bhakti is actually like. It's all about love, bhakti between the Lord and his devotees, the exchanges, and the Lord, and the love of the residents of Vrindavan, Napare Hum. It is so powerful, it conquers the Lord. It controls he who cannot be controlled. And that is what's going on in Braja. So there is no other way to attain Krishna other than by bhakti, he says. And suicide, these acts are influenced by passion and ignorance. And if one is contaminated by passion and ignorance, one cannot know who Krishna is. We cannot understand him. So then, without bhakti, he says, without bhakti, unless one discharges, performs his devotional service with the desire to please the other. It's about service, but not service in the sense of work, but service in the sense of the intense, sweet desire to give to the other, to bring a smile to the other's face, to please the other, to do something for their pleasure. Without that, one cannot awaken one's dormant love for Krishna, Prabhupada says. And there is no means. This verse is actually prema vina Krishna prapti anya hoyanai. That without that prema, without performing bhakti, you can't get prema. Without prema, you can't get Krishna. Krishna prapti anya hoyanai. There is no other way, he's telling Sanatana Goswami. And then he quotes from the 11th canto saying, not by this, not by that, not by yoga, sankhya, dharma, study, tapasya, renunciation. You cannot get me. It's by bhakti you can get me. By devotion, by love. I am melted by that. He's a person, a supreme person. So he's speaking against measures like suicide. These are sinful. They won't get you Krishna. You won't get the shelter of Krishna by these actions. But he says something a little bit on the other side. Next, Mahaprabhu says that you may feel in your heart that my life without Krishna has no value whatsoever, and therefore what is the use of my life? You may have that feeling, that ecstatic, loving feeling, the devotee may But with that kind of love, you actually get Krishna. Tatralayam apimulam ekalam. At that time, though, you cannot give up your body. And this comes out in Braja so many times, where the gopis, for example, they even want to give up their bodies. Not they want to, but they can't die, practically speaking, because they think that's going to give Krishna pain. And the pain of being separate from Krishna, which is like an ocean of pain, is not as great as the pain when they think that Krishna's going to be unhappy if he sees that his leaving Vrindavan has caused our death. That's going to make Krishna feel so bad. So therefore they somehow or another keep alive. And in this way, they gain Krishna. It's that intensity of love that causes one to gain Krishna. It is not cheap, Prabhupada would say. Sometimes when he would talk to us, he'd say, all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. So simple. But other times he would say, do you think getting this is easy? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his comment on this verse, he says, in his Amrita Prabhabhasya, which Prabhupada doesn't mention in his comments, in his purports, he says, in separation from Krishna, the Premika Bhakta, the devotee who's filled with love, he wants to give up his own body in separation. But by the strength of that prema, this is basically what Krishna says in the verse, by the strength of that prema, thinking that sunyayate jagat sarvam govinda vedahena me, he's talking about separation here. When we feel the absence of Krishna, somehow to feel separation from Krishna is the message that is being subtly given. And this is what Mahaprabhu is teaching. This is Varaha Bhav. By the strength of that prema, he gets Krishna. But in fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's unable to give up his body. In other words, Krishna won't give death to him. He can't. Because of his love for the devotee. Rather, he gives himself. So, continuing, he then quotes from the story of the pastime, which is in the 52nd chapter of the 10th canto, where Rukmini Devi writes a letter to Krishna expressing her love for him. We won't read the Sanskrit, but we'll just go through the English. Please go on to the English. O Lotus Eyed One, great personalities like Lord Shiva desire to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet to drive away ignorance. So the greatest of personalities take the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. They don't see it as in anything other than the purest of the pure. And then she says, if I do not get the mercy of your lordship, I shall observe vows to reduce the duration of my life. And thus I shall give up bodies for hundreds of births. I'm willing to do that for hundreds of births if it is possible to get your mercy in that way. So this is explaining here, Mahaprabhu is explaining, not in detail, but he's giving hints at the process of separation, of service and serving in separation from Krishna. And very interesting here is how did Rukmini Devi gain this incredible, powerful attraction for Krishna that she's willing to undergo the austerity of death after death after death and shorten her own life, perform austerities that would shorten her own life to gain Krishna. How did she get such an attraction? And the answer to that is by hearing. By hearing about Krishna's glories, about his sweetness, about his beauty, about his how he deals with his devotees. And then Mahaprabhu will cite another verse, a second verse, but not by Rukmini Devi, and we won't read the Sanskrit of this verse either. So please go to the English. This is by the Braja Gopis, and their mood is slightly different from Rukmini Devi's. They say, "Oh, dear Krishna, by your smiling glances and melodious talk, they've met Krishna. You have awakened a fire of lusty desires in our hearts. Not just by hearing, they've been with Krishna, they've received his glance, and they've heard his speaking. And because of that, the desire in our heart to be with you, the pure loving desire to be with you, is burning, is blazing. Now, you should extinguish that fire with a stream of nectar from your lips by kissing us. Kindly do this. Kindly do this. And if you don't do it, we won't have to perform austerities like Rukmini Devi in her glorious letter to Krishna said to leave our body. We won't have to do that. But the fire of our desire to serve you in the mood, the non-materialistic, non-material lusty mood, but the loving golden mood of the gopis, we won't have to perform austerities, but that fire of desire to love you will burn our body to ashes because of separation from you. And thus, by the most natural form of meditation, the meditation on the attractiveness of Krishna by attractive Krishna, the all-attractive Krishna, we shall claim shelter at your lotus feet. So Mahaprabhu continues, because here so many things are said subtly and just by hints. They'll be explained, they're explained in the Bhagavatam, they're explained later by the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in his final pastimes in great detail, what it's like to be in this mood. But here there's just subtle hints. And how do we proceed in our own lives? Sanatan is told by Mahaprabhu, give up your nonsensical desires, kabudi, chadiya kore. No, go back, if you can do that. Kabudi, these nonsensical, foolish desires that won't actually help you. And they are unfavorable. Could you go back, please? They're unfavorable for getting Krishna's lotus feet, but then what should I do? This is the question, what should I do? And this question will have different answers at different parts. But this is the essential foundational part, that you should engage koro shravana kirtanam. You should engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shravana kirtana. And then acharate very quickly, you'll be able to get the lotus feet, Krishnera Charan. But there's more. This is the basic formulation of the process. Now you can go on, please. So it doesn't make, and Prabhupada puts in his translation, engage yourself in chanting and hearing, then you will achieve the shelter of Krishna. Without a doubt, acharate, He translates, which means quickly, generally, soon, without a doubt, if you do this. And next, Mahaprabhu says that it doesn't make a difference of your birth, what family you're born in. It may be a great exalted family, it may be a low-born family, and there is Sanatan, and there is Haridas, and what to speak of poor Burijan Das, a Brooklyn Vasi. But what if birth doesn't help? What does help? Next verse. Dinera adhikadaya kori Bhagavan. Kulina pandita darina bari abhiman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, dinera. If one is humble, if one is humble and meek, then Krishna shows more mercy to that person. Adhikadaya. More mercy to that person. Bhagawan gives more mercy to that person, but not fake humility, but rather feeling that without your mercy, what hope do I have? So it doesn't make a difference if you're a pundit, if you're an aristocrat, if you're a learned scholar, if you're wealthy, because that will give you, you may get some pride in that, from that. So every material quality will have a negative attached to it. A positive quality will have a negative attached to it. But actual humility, the feeling oneself unqualified and yet always, always taking shelter of Krishna, which defines actual humility, that has no negative quality to it. So then Mahaprabhu quotes a Sanskrit verse from the seventh canto, Prahlad speaking. And then he gives some more instructions on what to do. Bhajanera madhya shreshta nava vidhi bhakti. Krishna prema Krishna dite dare mahashakti. Go on to the English, please. Amongst the ways of devotional service, you should perform the nine processes of devotional service are the best. For these processes have great power, they have great potency to deliver Krishna. But not deliver Krishna like that, but to deliver ecstatic love for Krishna. And Prabhupada, we'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport to this. He says, there's a long purport, but he says, in the beginning, one has to discharge devotional service according to the regulative principles. But gradually, as devotional service becomes one's life and soul, as devotional service becomes one's life and soul, that means the Navanga Bhakti, the processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, as it becomes one's life. You can't live without your life. You can't live without your soul, without watering your existence with these processes. But gradually, as devotional service becomes one's life and soul, one achieves the most exalted position of ecstatic love for Krishna. So when I ask myself, why don't I achieve ecstatic love for Krishna? I've been chanting for so many years. Then my answer is given here. Has devotional service, the practices of devotional service, not superficially saying, oh, I'm a bhakta, I'm a devotee, but the practices of devotional service, have they become my life and soul, that which sustains me? Therefore, Mahaprabhu previously emphasizes humility and knowing that one needs the mercy of the Lord as a very important part of the process. And now he moves on for more instructions. Is he just instructing Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur? Hardly. Taramaji Sarva Shrestha Nama Sankirtan. Amongst all these processes, most important is Nama Sankirtan. And if I do this nirapadade, without offenses, if I chant Krishna's names without offenses, paya prema dana, I'll be able to get the great wealth of prema. Prabhupada says, one easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Prabhupada, we'll read just a little of this purport is wonderful here. We'll just read two or three sentences. One's humility and meekness. That means also one's desire to serve and please. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Therefore, Prabhupada says, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can very easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in the age of Kali. And then the glories of the holy name are explained in so many different ways, quoting so many different shastras in Prabhupada's purport. But he again emphasizes this humble and meek. So after hearing this, Sanatana Goswami was amazed because he hadn't told anyone of his desire to give up his body under the wheels of the Jagannath cart at Rath Yatra in the presence of Mahaprabhu, and yet Mahaprabhu knew this. So he was chamatkar. This word is used many, many times. He was astonished. And he could understand that Mahaprabhu knew everything. He knew everything, past, present, future, and he has forbidden him to commit suicide. And he said to the Lord, because Mahaprabhu was speaking to him, this isn't just a philosophical class that's going on, he's in front of Sanatana, and they're speaking to each other, and he says, oh Lord, you know everything. You are merciful. Your independence, Swatantra, you do as you like. And what am I? I'm like an instrument of wood, a puppet, karputli, pultunats. I dance. I'm just dancing here. You're playing with me, he's saying. Mahaprabhu is using him, Sanatana, in his lila, in his pastimes. And Sanatana Goswami is beginning to become aware of this. And he's saying, I'm dancing as you make me dance. I am low born. Indeed, I am the lowest. I'm condemned, for I have all the characteristics of a sinful man. But what is the use? What will be the gain if you disallow me from committing suicide? What will be the gain of keeping me alive? This was the depth of Sanatana Goswami's humility. And Mahaprabhu said something that was shocking. He said, your body is my property. You have already surrendered unto me. Therefore, you have no longer any claim to your body. Why should you want to destroy another's property? Can't you consider what is right and what is wrong? You've prayed, you've given yourself to me, you've surrendered yourself to me. Now there is so much depth of instruction in here for every devotee. If we give ourselves to Krishna, then everything else is Krishna's problem in one sense. And yet we find ourselves in circumstances in life that may be to our liking, may not be to our liking, may be completely against our liking, may be terrible. And yet Krishna is observing, like he was observing Madhavendra Puri. And how we deal with that, how we deal with, as we go through our life, tateyanu kampamsu samitshamano bunjane vatma kripavabhakam, how we deal with our life in Krishna consciousness is our parikshita, is our test. How we internally especially deal with our life. And then Mahaprabhu will go on and say what he wants to do with the body of Sanatana Goswami. And that we shall continue, Krishna willing, tomorrow. He has service. Is there some service that he may have for you? Sometimes it comes in the most unexpected way. He wants you to do something. It may be seemingly little. It may be seemingly big. But it is his service and his desire. Will we do it? Will we let that come through us? Will we let that desire of Mahaprabhu, of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers, will we let that come through us? Okay, we will end here. Prashanta, are there any other, is it time for any other questions, or have we already done it?
We've done it, but Vaidyanath Prabhu had a question.
Is that my old friend Vaidyanath Prabhu?
Are you still here, Vaidyanath Prabhu?
I think not.
I'm unmuting him.
Okay. Good. Go ahead. You can hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gurijan Prabhu. Thank you very much for your exposure. Very much. I always learn from you very much. Thank you. Many times during your discourse, you quoted verses with reference to Krishna's names, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami to engage in chanting. So I was wondering, was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, as we know it now, as popular during those times as it is now? Or were they chanting many mantras? I read in Sanatana Goswami's Bhagavatamrita that Brahmana was initiated into the Gopal mantra. I believe also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishvara Puri into the Gopal mantra. So was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as popular in those days as it is now?
In Chaitanya Bhagavata, when Mahaprabhu speaks to the residents of Mayapur, Mayapur Navadvip, he tells them specifically to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In the kirtans, they didn't only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they chanted other mantras as well during Mahaprabhu's time in Navadvip. But when he specifically requested the people of Navadvip to chant, he requested them to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So rather than going into realms of all the different mantras that I'm not aware of, we follow the lead of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and following Mahaprabhu's instructions to the residents of Navadvip, we also mostly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. I'm not sure if that answered your question, and probably not on the depth of your unfathomably great intelligence, but and learning, but that might be the best I can do with this one. Vaidyanath Prabhu. And it was more known. It's not actually mentioned even. The Hare Krishna mantra is not specifically mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita even. But it is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavata.
Yeah, okay. So Chaitanya's movement wasn't known as Hare Krishna movement yet at that time.
No, that was waiting for Prabhupada.
Okay.
Thank Prabhupada you. Also said one time in New Zealand when someone read him a newspaper article that said, you know, criticized those people who chant Hare Krishna. Mm. And Prabhupada said, saying Hare Krishna is bad is also good. Because the power of the holy name is such.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
It was mostly known as Gaudiya Vaishnavism, I think. And that's a whole nother long topic. How Chaitanya Charitamrita really unified the Gaudiya Sampradaya philosophically too, what the actual philosophy was. This was the great work of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, but in one sense, mostly by Kaviraj Goswami. But that's a whole other topic.
Because there are so many quotes in scripture about the validity of Hare Krishna mantra that were dug out by our acharyas.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.